This is KUT. I'm Emily Donahue. Joel Dicker is a lot like the hero of his new book, The Truth About the Harry Kuber Affair. His first novel is a blockbuster, first in Europe and now in the U.S. Same with the hero of his book. This author is celebrated for his achievement. Same with the hero of his book, Marcus Goldman. But in the book, Goldman finds himself wrapped up in several layers of angst and mystery, at the center of which are a murder and his mentor. I am assured by Joel Dicker that this is not an autobiographical novel. That's correct, right, Joel?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Thank you for having me. Thank you very much.
Without giving too much away, can you give out a little more of the plot of your book?
Sure, yeah. So it's the story of a young author, Marcus Goldman, that just gets this massive success with his first book. And when it's time for him to write his next novel, he realized that he's facing a writer's block. So he decides to go to see his mentor and former professor at the university, Harry Kuber, who lives in New Hampshire. And Harry is the one who taught Marcus how to write a novel. Marcus goes to see him in New Hampshire. He stays there for a few weeks, and the inspiration don't come back. He goes back to New York, and a few weeks after that, he finds out on the TV that Harry just got arrested after the police digged out of his backyard the body of a young girl. And it's a young girl that has disappeared 30 years ago. That is going the beginning of my plot, of the plot of my book, and that is going also to be the beginning of Marcus' plot, because Marcus, in the story, is going to go back to New Hampshire and he's going to try to find out the truth about his mentor, Harry Kuber. So it's you can see it as a mystery novel, but I will say it's more about a book within a book.
One of the more delightful elements of this book within the book is that each chapter opens with a maxim from Harry. They sounded so real, I was kept double-checking to make sure that they hadn't been quoted from someplace else.
Oh, thank you very much. It's very nice. It means that it seems real, but it's not. It's a pure invention. The thing is, when I wrote the first draft of the book, it was one chapter of 600 pages. And then I was like, it's maybe a little too long, and I should add chapters to give some breathing for the readers. So I decided to put chapters in the book, and then I decided that as it's a book within a book, I should try to do a book within a book within a book by putting those quotes in the beginning of the chapters. And I just tried to invent some kind of advice that Harry could give to Marcus.
The book pivots at sort of high speed from the book to the book to the book, and from point to point, sort of dealing with truth versus fiction, literal truth both in the book and in life, sort of fact versus personal reality. There's a lot going on. And you say you wrote all that in one go? You wrote 600 pages?
Yeah, the thing is, I was not sure of the plan of the book since the beginning, and that's why I guess the book is that thick and the story is long. It's because I was trying to find out my own story in the story, and then I was of course able to do a lot of corrections in the story to make sure that everything will work out. But it was really one book, one story. I think also I really wanted to try to be, you know, like a storyteller, someone that will just sit in front of you and tell you a story and that just has to invent a story as he is telling a story. And I think it's a pretty cool exercise to do, because you have to be very creative and you also have to be very credible as well.
It definitely did have that feel. And you placed it in this beautiful, fictional seaside village, but there's a little backstory there, right?
Yeah. So basically, I decided to set the story in New Hampshire because I used to spend all my summers when I was a kid in Maine, because I have cousins living in the States and they have a summer house over there. So I used to spend all my summers there, and I really felt like I wanted to set a story to tell how beautiful is New England. And then when I really worked on my book, I decided to set the story in New Hampshire just to protect Maine, I guess, just to preserve it.
That's a lot like here in Austin, people say, you're welcome to visit, but please go home when you're done.
it's a good point. I mean, you know, you have this special place that you really love and you want to tell everybody how beautiful it is. You want to tell the people that you don't even need to close the door or your car. But at the same time, if you say to too many people, there will be a lot of people going there and it's going to be the end of the village, of the town.
Harry actually has a little bit of that mentality about him. He sort of led a somewhat reclusive life up there in his beautiful house by the beach and sort of created perhaps a myth of himself for Marcus. I mean,
right. The secret of Harry is also about who is he. And I think that it's also a thing that we all trying to do. It's trying to sometimes stay in a bubble, you know, trying to protect themselves and trying to stay in our own world. And I think that I tried to explain that by using the image of a house and no one around and just Harry in the house. But it's definitely, the house is definitely Harry's bubble.
And Marcus is also sort of trying to kind of figure out who he is, really.
Yeah, absolutely, because Marcus thought he was an author. He thought he was a writer. He always wanted to be an author. And after the success of his first book, he realized that he don't know what he wants to write about. He don't know if he's a real author. He don't know what he's writing about. And in the quest of Harry's past, in the quest of Harry's real identity, he also tries to understand who he really is, because he is trying to understand why Harry is a lonely author, and at the same time he's trying to find out why does he really want to be him, Marcus, an author as well.
I know nothing about the publishing world, but Marcus's publisher is sort of both hilarious and frightening. Is there any similarity there with real life?
No, there is not. Mine, my publisher, my original publisher is a very nice man in Paris, and he's very caring and very sweet. But the thing is, if I would have used his type of guy for the book, it would have been a very boring book.
Because yeah, poor old Marcus would have had no motivation, right?
Absolutely. And so I had to do something very different.
Yeah, he was classic. But just like Marcus, you also now have a huge hit on your hands.
Yeah, the thing is, it's not my first book, so it's a different situation. I've written and tried to read many novels before, so I kind of know that the inspiration will come back. Then, of course, there's the pressure of how do you write a book after such a big success? And I'm not sure of that. But what I'm sure is you cannot write a bestseller. You can write a book, and then the medias, the readers, the booksellers can make this book a bestseller. My work is just to write another novel and try to be the best novelist as I can.
You have another novel in the works already?
Yeah, I'm trying. I'm working on a new project, I should say. The plot is not really clear, but I'm already in a brand new story.
This one's going to be about a painter, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. In the Massachusetts.
Well, Joël Dicker, thank you so much for speaking with
me. Thank you
today.
Very much. It was a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Joël Dicker is the author of The Truth About the Harry Cubert Affair, which is in stores now. For the Texas Standard, I'm Emily Donahue, KUT News.